Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. Great new inventory. Lots of fabulous pre-owned inventory as well. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call of the day, what a finish in Bermuda.
Oh, the hole.
Go in the hole, indeed. What a time to pull that off.
Great shot, and that's a great lesson there.
Brian Gay, 700 par, 64. That was enough to win. See, we're already into next season, by the way. I mean, we're already into next season. For golf. I mean, even though the Masters is going to be played, what, next week?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, the Masters is next week, because the Masters said that the key was they did not want the Masters because of ratings to conflict with Shikellamy football.
That's sneaking up on us, though.
Well, it's the last one that is out of sequence.
Right.
So it's the last one that's out of sequence. And that's what everything else should, calendar-wise, we hope, start to fall into place. And maybe we can get onto some semblance of normalcy here. I don't know. We'll find out what's planned here based on who wins this thing. All right. So, Green Bay 49ers, right now, game's still on. One 49er player has tested positive. They have isolated him, but he's tested positive. I think it's one of their wide receivers, I believe. Meanwhile, Trevor Bauer turns down $18.9 million from the Reds. Huh? I mean, would you do that? Yeah, I don't know. We've also talked about a little bit about basketball, but not much. The key is going to be, obviously, what's going to be going on with the football part of it this weekend. We already know Wisconsin-Purdue is out. Trevor Lawrence, by the way, is going to the game. Trevor Lawrence is going to the game. He just will not play. He will have cleared the 10-day isolation protocol. You're saying, well, if he's cleared it, why can't he play? He has to go through a battery of cardiovascular tests designed to identify symptoms of myocarditis. That has to be done before he can return to the field, and that will not be done by Saturday. That's why he can't play. But Dabo Swinney said Lawrence is doing great, but they can't do everything they need to do in terms of all the tests to get him back in time for Saturday's game with Notre Dame. because the ACC's medical advisory group requires all players who test positive to remain in isolation for 10 days, which he's done. And that actually will be done for him by tomorrow. But in order to evaluate for symptoms of myocarditis or any other cardiovascular issue, there's actually a three-part testing protocol that is in place that Clemson said takes an additional 2 to maybe 3 days to do. So they expect that Lawrence will be back for practice early next week, and he'll play against Florida State, which I believe they have a bye week. They'll play Florida State 21st. All right, so former Vice President Joe Biden is speaking in Wilmington. We'll get to that in a moment.
That we're winning enough states to reach 270 electoral votes needed to win the presidency. I'm not here to declare that we've won, but I am here to report when the count is finished, we believe we will be the winners. With all the votes counted, we have won Wisconsin by 20,000 votes, virtually the same margin that President Trump won that state 4 years ago. In Michigan, we lead by over 35,000 votes, and it's growing. A substantially bigger margin than President Trump won Michigan in 2016. Michigan will complete its vote soon, maybe as early as today. And I feel very good about Pennsylvania. Virtually all the remaining ballots to be counted were cast by mail. And we've been winning 78% of the votes by mail in Pennsylvania. We flipped Arizona and the 2nd District of Nebraska. Of special significance to me is that we've won with the majority of the American people. And every indication is that the majority will grow. We have a popular vote lead of nearly 3 million votes, and every indication is that will grow as well. Indeed, Senator Harris and I are on track to win more votes than any ticket in the history of this country that ever won the presidency and vice presidency, over 70 million votes. I'm very proud of our campaign. Only 3 presidential campaigns in the past have defeated an incumbent president. When it's finished, God willing, we'll be the 4th. This is a major achievement. This is a major achievement. And it's been a long and difficult campaign, but it's been a more difficult time for our country, a hard time. We've had hard campaigns before. We've faced hard times before. So once this election is finalized and behind us, it'll be time for us to do what we've always done as Americans, to put the harsh rhetoric of the campaign behind us, to lower the temperature, to see each other again, to listen to one another, to hear each other again, and respect and care for one another, to unite, to heal, to come together as a nation. I know this won't be easy. I'm not naive. Neither of us are. I know how deep and hard the opposing views are in our country on so many things. But I also know this as well. To make progress, we have to stop treating our opponents as enemies. We are not enemies. What brings us together as Americans is so much stronger than anything that can tear us apart. So let me be clear. We are campaigning as a Democrat, but I will govern as an American president. The presidency itself is not a partisan institution. It's the one office in this nation that represents everyone. And it demands a duty of care for all Americans. That is precisely what I will do. I will work as hard for those who didn't vote for me as I will for those who did vote for me. Now, every vote must be counted. No one's going to take our democracy away from us. Not now, not ever. America's come too far. America's fought too many battles. America's endured too much to ever let that happen. We, the people, will not be silenced. We, the people, will not be bullied. We, the people, will not surrender. My friends, I'm confident we'll emerge victorious. But this will not be my victory alone or our victory alone. It'll be a victory for the American people, for our democracy, for America. And there will be no blue states and red states when we win, just the United States of America. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you.
.270 yet, but wanted to make a statement today. The president, I believe, is also going to be making a statement here at some point. I believe this is in such flux. I guess, what, Biden won Wisconsin, but they took away Arizona?
It's still likely to be him for Arizona, but there are still, I guess there's a late surge from President Trump, so they're not ready to give it to him yet. But Wisconsin's a definite, and then Michigan, yeah, North Carolina, Georgia, PA are still up for grabs.
Yeah, so he is at, they say 248, I think Zach technically he's at 237 because of the Arizona situation. I think there are 600,000 outstanding votes there in Arizona. All right, so what we'll do is we'll take a break. We'll transition back to the fun stuff in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. MAC action returns tonight. 6 Mid-American Conference games. Just when you needed the MAC, we got the MAC. I mean, Matt's excited. In fact, Matt watches all these games now to see if there are any receivers that the Eagles should draft.
And linebackers, too.
And linebackers, yeah. You got a little problem there. You got a little problem. Big time problem. But, yeah. But you're in first place.
Exactly
right. Life is good. You own your division.
It is strangely good, yes.
You own the division. You drove Ben DiNucci from the starting job in Dallas.
Unbelievable.
How could you do? Garrett Gilbert, the former Alliance for American Football quarterback, is going to evidently start for the Cowboys this week against the Steelers. I mean, just when you felt like DiNucci emotionally being from Pine Richland.
That's right.
If anybody wanted to start against the Steelers, it was his and Mike McCarthy, who, by the way, is a Western PA guy himself, yanks it from him.
You know what's even sad with that, too, is Cooper Rush has been on that roster for like the last 2-3 years, and they still won't go to him.
Well, he still might.
He's up for the job, too, this week, but he seems to be number two look.
Seems to be the backup guy once again. All right. I've talked to Jack before. Jack will bring up Cliff Stout. And there was 2 years in a row where the Steelers won the Super Bowl, and Cliff Stout didn't take a snap in a game. Got rings. Didn't even do a kneel down. Anything. Now, Stout wanted to play, obviously, or else he wouldn't have signed his contract with the in the USFL with Birmingham. But what a great job. You're the backup quarterback at a clipboard. Team has great success. You've got hardware. Look at my Super Bowl ring. What do you think of it? Oh, man. I've told you the story about Mark Malone, haven't I?
I think so.
Yeah. Mark Malone is he's the first pick of the Steelers. You know, and essentially the idea is eventually, you know, Bradshaw will head to the end, and when he does, Mark Malone will be the heir apparent. Okay. Well, Mark Malone really wanted to be good, and he looked at it as a golden opportunity that he got to learn from a Super Bowl winning quarterback in Terry Bradshaw. But I think, as you and I know, and older members of the audience know, Terry Bradshaw had his own way of doing things on the football field. Hall of Famer, incredibly talented, but he played the game like a street game, and I mean that as a compliment. So there was a play, and Jack was standing right next to Malone on the sideline. And Malone's got has the clipboard. He's writing down, you know, every single thing Bradshaw does. He writes it down, right? Every play. So Bradshaw goes back to pass. He throws it over the middle into a triple. And John Stallworth comes down with the ball, and it's a touchdown. So Bradshaw's jogging off the field, thinking about, hey, maybe 40 years from now I can have a reality TV show. No, he's jogging off the field, and Malone looks at him. He says, now, Brad, tell me, okay, what was the coverage? What did you see on the play? What was it about Stallworth? And Bradshaw looks at him. He says, I looked up. He's the first guy I saw, so I threw it to him. Malone dropped the clipboard, looked at Jack, and said, I can't learn this way. But that's the way. That's the way Bradshaw was. Bradshaw went out and played the game like a street game. And I mean that as a compliment. That is not meant to be a put down in any way, shape, or form. But he just went out and played good old fashioned country hardball. You know, he could throw it, you know, between Jimmy Smith, who's never talked about, Jimmy Smith, Lynn Swan, John Stallworth, he could throw it deep to anybody. And he had the arm to do it. He could throw the ball a Louisiana country mile. Now, of course, he's on Fox. Younger people such as yourself know him as a broadcaster. Younger people such as yourself know him now as a reality TV guy. Younger people such as yourself know him as somebody who gives away his own money.
Yeah, but the street strategy doesn't work when trying to read the highlights. Just saying.
Yeah, I can't comment on that because I don't watch any of that stuff.
You're not missing much. It's pretty painful.
Now, as somebody who, as part of his living, does pregame shows and postgame shows, that's part of what I do. Yeah, I know why we're doing it. I completely get that. If somebody does that for a living, as somebody who then watches, I don't watch them. It used to be the NFL Today was a half an hour. This is back in the 60s and 70s. And you kind of felt by the time the half hour was over, you were like pretty much primed and set to go. But now they're an hour. Game day, which was 2 hours for college, now 3 hours. That's where the game day started to lose me in the three-hour thing. And I totally get why game day is 3 hours. I totally get it. It's an easy sell for ESPN. It's Saturday morning. This is the premier pregame show. Everybody knows it. We can squeeze another hour out of this thing, go from 9 to noon instead of a sports center. It's easy money. but they lost me. That third hour lost me because I felt like they were taking the day instead of going with some pace through everything, and they're well prepared on everything. But I felt like they were dragging it all out and throwing in some entertainment segments and things like that. And I'm like, ah. So even game day, I stopped watching. Now, I watched it last week because it was at Penn State, and they did a great job with it, but three hours is a long show. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors here was 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors here, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Head online at sunburymotors.com. Daniel, Wichita, Kansas. I guess, did we lose out on Wichita, Kansas there?
Yeah, I think we might have lost him there.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm looking forward to talking to Wichita, Kansas. All right. Well, maybe you'll call back. Maybe Daniel will come back, call back. Appreciate that very much. That they're even listening to the show in Wichita. Matthew Stafford placed on the COVID-19 IR by the Detroit Lions. I thought we'd pass that along to you. Yeah, listening in Wichita. We have listeners all over the place. New Hampshire, New York, California, obviously Wichita, Kansas. Listeners all over the place. At the WKOK.com. And of course, we all know how powerful these streaming numbers are to accurately quote middle management. Streaming. All right. Stop laughing. He's your guy. He is your mentor.
He loves those streaming numbers.
He is the person you look up to. He is the one you came this close to naming the godfather of your child. And then common sense kicked in.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't do this. That's because Lisa stepped in. She's, no.
I don't exactly think so. Right.
Talia Tungavaiola, how's he like his brother? Well, that's a good question. There are some elements that he's like his brother. Some where he's not. I think he's a little bit better runner than his brother. He's right-handed, obviously, and Tua's left-handed. He delivers a good ball. I mean, based on watching him in the Minnesota game, he threw a touchdown pass to Jason Jones over the middle. And it was just a simple in-cut, slant, whatever. And let's give Minnesota credit. The coverage was really good. He put the ball right on the money where Jones did not have to break stride and went all the way. I think it was a 76-yard touchdown pass, I think. It was just a fabulous throw. I think you need to get up in this game early. I think that's important. I think you cannot let Maryland play with the lead. Penn State has spent too much time in this young season playing without the lead. And they need to get in front and play with the lead. They need to make Maryland play uphill. They need to put the doubt into Maryland's mind. Playing uphill is difficult. It's something where I talked to James Franklin about this earlier today. And I said, what is it as a coach, the balance for you coaching uphill between sideline demeanor, but also what you're thinking internally about it? And he said, look, there is a difference. Because on the sideline, you're still trying to present calm but urgency. You're trying to present, everybody just come together, we'll get this done, and that. But internally, he said, you're thinking about, okay, maybe we have to do this a little different, that a little different. You know, so internally, as a coach, you're thinking differently while still trying to project the sense of normalcy on the sideline. But so you need to do that to them. And what Penn State needs more than anything else right now is they need to go out, ring the victory bell in their own stadium, go into that locker room, and feel great about winning a game. That's what they need more than anything else. Yeah, you do that, and you almost feel like there's an exhale, and you're like, all right, and then you get really juiced, and you get into your next week of practice, and then you get ready for Nebraska. They need to do that. Because they haven't had that yet. And I know it's been an unusual season. That's an understatement. And as I've said before, and when this came up about the 8-game-plus-1 schedule, it reminds me a lot when I'm broadcasting minor league baseball and you get to that doubleheader. And they had, instead of playing 2 9-inning games, you're playing 2 7-inning games. So you're sitting there in a 9-inning game, and you get to the bottom of the 4th inning. You're looking around, and you're saying, okay, still got time to do something, got X amount of... But when it's a doubleheader, it's a 7-inning game. You get to the bottom of the 4th inning, top of the 5th. Now, that sense of urgency that may not be there in a 9-inning game is now there because you only have X amount of outs to work with. Well, same thing with this. When you've got the 8-plus-1 schedule like this, okay, there, the sense of urgency needs to be there. The Pac-12, by the way, joins the fray this weekend. Stanford plays Oregon. ESPN does not have Clemson-Notre Dame on Saturday night. Because the game is at South Bend, NBC has the game. Thus, game day will be in South Bend, and Kirk Herb Street will be there. But they're going to fly him out to the coast because they've got Oregon and Stanford as they start. And I believe, is it this week that USC and Arizona State play a noon game?
Yep, they're the big noon kickoff game on Fox this week.
Oh, it's painful. It's 9 a.m.
Yeah, that's bad.
Let's start with this. Idealistically, they want student-athletes eating 3.5 hours before tip-off kickoff. 4 to 3.5 hours. I mean, you're eating it 5:30 in the morning. Or should you're eating it, yeah. You'd be eating at 5:30 in the morning. Like, at a full meal at 5:30. They're going to do, I'm sure they're going to do all these things that they do all the time. Blaring the music, blue lights, things like that. I mean, there's a lot of things that they try to do for early games. And not just in football, but in basketball. They have to play an early game. I mean, Penn State's going to have to go through that at Nebraska. Game's going to be 11 a.m. in Lincoln. Noon, of course, on the East Coast. But that's what TV wants. And the Pac-12 agreed to this. This is not one of those where TV went to them and said, hey, we have an idea. The Pac-12 went to them with the idea. I don't see how that increases your profile. By the way, the Penn State-Ohio State viewership ratings, second highest of the season. Highest for ABC ESPN, so they're highest overall by a wide margin. Second overall to Georgia-Alabama, which was on CBS. It drew almost 5 million viewers Saturday night. And the Ohio State-Penn State game, again, it drew 5 million, which is their number one. And how much better was it than the year before ratings-wise? The same weekend in 2019, the Penn State-Ohio State game was up 27% over the game that was shown last year in that time frame. And Saturday night, ABC won the night in primetime because of that game. Now, Notre Dame and Clemson Saturday night for NBC has all the earmarks of being a big win. Clemson's right now, no Trevor Lawrence. He'll be there, but he can't play. And, of course, the name Notre Dame in South Bend, and this feels like a playoff game, which, of course, we'll get into with the King on Friday. I will say this about Notre Dame. I am not wowed by how they play, but they don't beat themselves. They don't commit silly penalties. They don't turn the ball over. They get a turnover. You don't sit there when the game's over going, whoa, look at this team. When the game's over, they've won. And you sit back and say to yourself, you know what? In some ways, they're like that baseline tennis player that returns serve. And then all of a sudden you hit it into the net. I give them credit. They play a style that works for them and wins for them. It may not be dynamic. That's irrelevant. It wins. Winning is relevant.
As a Notre Dame fan, I agree. But anytime this team plays a big game or any game on the road, especially a big game on the road, I always have to hold my breath with Brian Kelly because sometimes he makes a stupid decision or just the team doesn't look prepared or anything like that. So being at home helps, but I want to see how ND starts this game. That's my biggest problem with Brian Kelly as a head coach.
Are you going to coach Little League when Luke gets older?
I don't know about being a head coach, but I would definitely like to at least be an assistant maybe, yeah.
What? Poor kid. All right.
Once again, I'm just giving you my honest opinion.
You're not a happy guy, are you?
I just want you to manage the game. That's all. And Brian Kelly's been very inconsistent doing that. But he continues to win, so I continue to let it go, I guess. But I've been his biggest critic.
I was at Notre Dame for the NIT a year and a half ago. Brian Kelly speaks very highly of you. All right, we'll come back with. I didn't know how to react. I was like, should I tell him the truth?
Thanks,
back
Coach.
Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Every time we play this, the suit moonwalks. Then, of course, we have to pick up trash cans and other. It's just can be a little sad at times. All right. What?
This is a difficult song to do the moonwalk to.
His skill, I mean, it's like watching the late John Belushi dance. It's incredible. Fabulous. All right, so what is on MAC action tonight? Dix Stadium, Kent State, Eastern Michigan at 6. Okay. Infocision Station in Akron. The Zips take on Western Michigan at 6. On CBS Sportsnet at Yeager Stadium. Ball State and Miami of Ohio. Husky Stadium, ESPN2, 7 o'clock, Buffalo, Northern Illinois. The ESPN game at 7, Ohio University to Kelly Short Stadium to play Central Michigan. That's the ESPN game at 7. Bowling Green and Toledo and ESPNU in the Glass Bowl at 8. Then tomorrow night, no MAC action. You've got Nevada hosting Utah State at 7 on FS1 and Wyoming's at Colorado State on CBS Sportsnet. Friday night, Miami and NC State will play at Carter-Finley. San Jose State at San Diego State on CBS Sportsnet at 9. BYU-Boise State, it's a pretty good game, on FS1 at 9:45 Friday. So when you're done with the Shikalumbi game, you can get home and watch that. So those are some of the games going on this weekend. Nebraska's at Northwestern. That's Penn State's next game at Nebraska. The game after that is Iowa, and they're going to be hosting Michigan State. Michigan, by the way, is at Indiana at noon on Saturday. Just keep everybody up to date on what's going on with the games across country. Florida, Georgia. I know that has to be on our pick'em list, right?
Has I hope be. So, I would think.
Well, you want to talk about two absolute opposites. Florida is really good to dynamic offensively with Kyle Trask at quarterback, and they can't stop anybody. Conversely, Georgia's defense is outstanding, and offensively they can't move the ball. You want to talk about a real contrast. That game is a real contrast. And obviously Notre Dame Clemson will be on there as well. The Eagles are off this week. They should be able, I believe, to solve all of their receiver and linebacking problems, right?
Well, they should be at least able to get healthy.
I think they would come back with the Giants.
Correct.
Probably just the boost they need. There's only two college football games that are canceled this weekend. Purdue, Wisconsin, which we've talked about already this week, and Florida International and Texas El Paso. Those are the only two that are canceled this weekend. Everybody else is playing. And we already went through what the Penn State COVID numbers were of 13, 22 tests, 11 positives, 3 pending. Less than 1%. You have to be vigilant with this. You can't take any of this for granted. Can't say, okay, well, we got it in control. We're in great shape. Nope. Wisconsin probably felt that way after their opener with Illinois, and they haven't played since. And as we pointed out earlier in the show, Wisconsin is in a spot right now where it's not just whether or not they can play the game. What happens if they're perfectly fine, they feel great, they feel great, they feel great, and the other team they're playing, say, December 5th, suddenly can't play a game. then they don't qualify for the Western Division Championship, even if they're 5-0, because you need to play six. You need to play six. Simple as that. It's part of the rule. I mean, look, in this season, everybody knows it's just crazy to begin with. All right. Well, we'll see if we know more tomorrow on a wide variety of items. I don't mean just sports.
That about says it all.
Johnny Holiday is going to join us tomorrow, the legendary play-by-play voice of Maryland football and basketball. How much football Johnny and I talk about tomorrow, we can debate, because when Johnny and I get together, it is... He's one of the five funniest people I've ever talked to in my life. He called me last week. We talked for 45 minutes on the phone. And I'm laughing at this, and I'm laughing at that, and I'm laughing at this. And Kathy says to me, says, let me guess, Johnny's on the phone. I said, yes. He says, nobody makes you laugh like he does. I said, you're right. Nobody does. Stories. But he's a great broadcaster. He just won the Woody Durham Award in the spring. And Don Fisher, by the way, has won it, and so has Bill Hillgrove for outstanding lifelong service. I mean, 42 years. The unfortunate part is it's like Paul Keels, they won't be able to travel. And I talked to Paul last week, who does Ohio State. They had to do games off monitors. He says, Steve, he said, the feeds were grainy. It was just really difficult to do. I mean, believe me, I know how fortunate I've been that they've let me be there. And by letting me be there, it has allowed you, the fan, to get a better broadcast and a better feel for what's going on, especially when Jack talks. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.